presence of God is heavy here this morning, right? So don't be in a hurry. It's not on to the next thing. We're not on a schedule here per se. It's all about the Lord. Amen. That song was written by Pastor John. So Center Branch Worship Original. Can we give it up for them? Yeah. That is an awesome song. Amen. It's the truth. I'm glad to serve a God that, it's greener pastures and stiller waters. Amen? Amen. Well, as Pastor Luke said, we're going to continue our series that we're calling Brand New You. And really, we've been taking this series to examine what the new you looks like, because you've been told in the Word, like in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come." That we know that when we are in Christ, we're not just a little bit like we used to be, right? We've been saying that over and over. We are completely new. You are completely new in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that you've been made a completely new creature. But the question is, what does that new creature look like? What does the brand new you look like? Right? So we've been taking a couple weeks to look at different aspects of the new creation realities that you now have. You know, when you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and he became your Lord and Savior, there wasn't a small change that took place on the inside of you. It's not like you're still the same you, and except for now you got to go to church on Sunday mornings and you curse a little less than you used to. There's like a massive change that took place on the inside of you when Jesus came to live in your heart. Amen? The brand new you is completely different. So just to review some of the things that we've talked about, Pastor Luke's talked about how when you became a brand new creation, the brand new you was rescued out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of light. So you've completely switched realms. You are now out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And with that comes a complete freedom of sin. The brand new you is completely free of sin. Amen? You see, a lot of believers think that being a believer is just about struggling with the same things that we've always struggled with, except for now, you know, Jesus forgives us of our sins and we'll struggle until the day that we go home. But that's not what the Word of God says. The brand new you has been set completely free of your struggles and mistakes from the past. You do not have to deal with the same things over and over again. You can finally kick that habit. You can finally be the woman of God that he's called you to be and the man of God that he's called you to be. And that's good news. Amen? The brand new you has the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. Pastor John talked about how the brand new you makes you eligible to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, where the power of God's Spirit can dwell in you richly and enable you to do the great things that God has called you to do. The brand new you is Spirit-filled. And what a blessing. Amen? Amen. Now, last week, Pastor Luke talked about Abraham and all the blessings that we saw Abraham experience in his life. Abraham saw extraordinary blessings throughout his life, and he talked about how really it all stems back to his desire to raise godly children. That God put his hand of blessing on Abraham, and it was really because Abraham said, he purposed in his heart, if God would ever give me a child, if God would ever give me a son, I will raise that son to fear the Lord, to know the Lord, to serve the Lord, and I'll make sure that his son does the same thing and his son does the same thing. Abraham purposed in his heart that he was going to raise a godly family, and from that purposing, God purposed to bless him. So we see God put his hand of blessing upon Abraham's life, and Abraham's life was just extremely blessed from there on out, right? So when you look back at the blessing of Abraham, you can see several things. Abraham had a ton of land. He had a ton of possessions in his name. Abraham had a ton of people that worked for him, a ton of servants. Abraham had an extraordinarily beautiful wife. Abraham, his children, he didn't only flourish and was blessed, but his children were as well. His children were wildly successful, and their children were wildly successful. Abraham had a successful business. Abraham's life was so blessed because of God putting the blessing on his life. And I want to read to you in Deuteronomy chapter 28. This lists out some of the blessing that was decreed over Abraham and his seed. It says this: your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. The fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you'll be blessed. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You'll be always on top and never on bottom. And that's what That's what God promised to Abraham. That's what Abraham saw in his life. No matter where he went, no matter what he did, Abraham saw extraordinary blessing. And it all comes back to this simple verse that tells us that God blessed Abraham. God decided to put his blessing on a man named Abraham. And because of that, Abraham saw all of these extraordinary things take place in his life. It all stems back to the fact that God decided to bless a man. And the good news for us today is the blessing that was designed for Abraham to enjoy wasn't just designed for Abraham to enjoy or just for his seed to enjoy. The blessing that Abraham enjoyed was actually designed for me and it was designed for you. Galatians chapter 3, I want to read to you. You don't have to turn there because I'm just going to jump around. But I want to show you three different times in Galatians, Paul tells us that we get to enjoy the same exact blessing that Abraham saw in his life. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 9, Paul says, "So all who put their faith in Christ Jesus," that's you and me, right? We put our faith in Christ Jesus, amen? Amen. "So all who put their faith in Christ Jesus share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith." Verse 14, "Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles," that's you and me, "with the same blessing he promised Abraham so that we who are believers would receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith." One more time, he says it in verse 29. "And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham, you are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." God's promise to Abraham, that blessing that he gave to Abraham, it wasn't just for Abraham, it was for me and for you in Christ Jesus. The brand new you, what I want to talk to you about today, the brand new you is blessed. The brand new you is blessed. Amen? Richly blessed. The same blessing that we see in Abraham's life that flourishes him in every aspect is upon you as a believer. The life of a Christian is a blessed life. The life of a believer is a blessed life from beginning to end. And hopefully you've already seen that as we talk about the new creation realities. We've talked about so many of the great things that Christ did for us in making us new creatures. I mean, it is a blessing in and of itself not to have to go to hell because of our sins, right? What an incredible blessing that because of our mistakes in the past and because of our sins, we don't have to actually suffer the punishment that's due to us. But Jesus Christ died on a cross so that we can go to heaven and be with our Heavenly Father forever, right? What an enormous blessing. So that's how our Christian life starts off. And if that's all it was, if that's all it was to be a Christian, that we don't have to go to hell and that someday we get to spend all eternity with our Heavenly Father, that would be enough, right? But it's not. That's not all it is. God saved us by the blood of Jesus. And then, as we've learned, he set us free. What a blessing to not have to struggle with the same habits and things over and over and over again. But we can finally be free. It is a blessing to be free. Amen? It is a blessing to be a believer. It's a blessing to be able to receive the Holy Spirit in his fullness, to have the Spirit of God dwelling richly on the inside of us, speaking to us and leading us, having perfect fellowship with us, comforting us, giving us peace, empowering us to do the things God has called us to do. What an incredible blessing it is to be a believer. Amen? You don't have to read through the Word for long before you start seeing some of the evidence and some of the benefits of being a Christian, some of the evidence of God's blessing on a believer's life. Now, you could do this with any passage. You could do this with any letter because the Word of God is just absolutely loaded with benefits and good things for the believer. But what I want to do for you real quick, just to prove a point, is open up to Ephesians and read to you some of the blessings that we experience as a Christian. Just to get this in your head, we're blessed, amen? The brand new you is blessed. Ephesians, you can try to follow along with me if you want, or you can just listen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm because we're united with Christ Jesus." In Christ Jesus, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Verse 8, "He showered his kindness upon us along with all wisdom and understanding." It's the type of God we serve. That's the type of life you live in, the brand new you. A God who showers his kindness on you. A God who pours out all wisdom and all understanding on you. Verse 11, "Furthermore, because we're united with Christ, we've received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance to make everything work out according to his plan." God's working everything out in your life. He's working everything out in your life according to his good plan. God is a good, good God. The Christian life is a blessed life. Amen. Continuing on, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. I pray also, Paul saying, I pray that you would understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. I just pray that you begin to understand how incredible this power is for you. God's power is for you. It's not against you. It's working alongside of you. It wants to see you become all that you can be. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins, you used to live in sin. But verse 4 says, God was so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even when we were dead because of our sins, he gave us new life by raising us with Christ Jesus from the dead. Christ has raised us up. God has raised us up through Christ that you don't have to live in sin anymore or be dead in your sin. You can be free in Jesus' name. What a blessing. Amen. Come on, we're just proving that God has blessed us, that the Christian life is a blessed life. Amen? Verse 10, he's created us anew in Christ so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He's made us completely new so we can do the good things. He's got so many good things in store for you in your life, so many abundant, bountiful things in your life. He wants to do exploits through you, and now you can finally do them because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Verse 13, but you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far from God, now you can be brought near to him through the blood of Jesus. What a blessing that we used to be far from God. Now we can know intimate fellowship with him. You can hear his voice clearly and do as he says. He'll hear your voice clearly. His ears are open to you. He's no longer shut off from you. You can talk to him. You know, just like Abraham, Abraham had such an intimate relationship with God. He heard what God had to say, and Abraham would talk back to God, and God would hear him. You get to experience that same blessing as well. You can hear God's voice. God can hear yours as well. What a blessing. Amen. Chapter 3, we're still going. Chapter 3, verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into the presence of God. And the brand new you is blessed because we can just come right into the presence of God, just like we did in worship there, where you can come in and you can actually feel God's tangible presence, his love, his peace, his joy right around you, right? What a blessing it is not to have to cower in his presence, not to have to slaughter animals in order to come into his presence, just to step boldly and confidently into the presence of God because of what Christ Jesus did. The brand new you is blessed. Finally, chapter 3, verse 20. Now all glory to God who is able through us and his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than you might ask or think. You can accomplish infinitely more than you might ever ask or think. Why? Because of Christ Jesus. The brand new you is blessed. Amen. The Christian life is a blessed, blessed life, and there's no disputing it. From beginning to end, it is good to be a believer. The brand new you is blessed. So you can read all throughout God's word the different aspects of the blessing, the different angles of the blessing, how we are blessed. But there's actually a scripture that tells us very specifically what the blessing does in our lives. There's a passage of scripture that we're going to read together this morning that tells us that when God puts his hand of blessing upon us, it goes to work doing something very particular in our lives. The blessing of God, when it comes upon us, which it's upon us, right? The blessing of God is upon us. When it comes upon you, it goes to work doing something. Open up to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to open it. I want you to read this out of your own Bible. Underline it so you can see it for yourself. When the blessing of God comes upon us, like it is, we're blessed as believers, right? We prove that. It is blessed to be a believer. We have the blessing of Abraham upon us. When that blessing comes upon you, it goes instantly to work doing something. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow unto it. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow unto it. When the blessing of God comes upon you, which it's upon us, when God decides to put his hand of blessing upon you, it goes to work doing something. It goes to work to make you rich. And just so we're on the same page moving forward, we're not talking just about a spiritual richness. We're not talking just about a heavenly richness. We're talking about material, physical wealth. We're talking about money this morning, all right? And a few amens, I'll take it. All right. That word rich in the Hebrew, it's not referring to a spiritual richness. You can look it up for yourself and do your research. That word rich, it means to be bountiful in herbs, or to be herbally abundant. And, you know, it's talking about herbs and spices. It's talking about grains. That's how they used to measure finances back, you know, in these times. So it's talking about a material gain. And it says, when the blessing of God comes upon you, it goes to work making you rich. The blessing of God makes rich. Now, just by definition of making something do something or making someone do something, that someone or thing really doesn't have a say in it. That's the definition of make, right? Like, for instance, if I said, I'm going to make somebody get out of this sanctuary, I'm going to physically remove somebody from this sanctuary. Now, for me, it would have to be somebody pretty scrawny and weak, right, for me to make them get out of the sanctuary. So Brad Morris would probably do. I could make Brad Morris leave the sanctuary in a hurry. So if I was going to make Brad leave, there's really nothing he could do. He doesn't have a say in it. That's by definition what it means to make somebody do something, right? I could make him leave. We say it when we say, it makes me cry, right? When something makes you cry, you don't have to wonder, you know, did you actually cry? Yeah, you cried because it made you cry, right? So there are certain things that will make me cry, and I'll admit it. I'm a man. So, you know, certain movies will make me cry. I love a good movie that makes me cry. There are certain TV shows that will make me cry, like, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the episode where Will's dad comes back and then walks out on him. Come on, you know that episode. I cry every time. The season finale of The Office, it'll make you cry every time, right? It makes you cry, not want to cry, it makes you cry. So, you know, you can try your hardest to hold back the tears. If something makes you cry, you know what happened. You cried, right? Because it made you cry. There are certain things on this earth that if you possess, if you come into possession of, if you obtain them, they will make you rich. If you find gold, you don't have a say in it. If gold comes into your possession, you will be rich. If you strike oil on your land, Beverly Hillbilly style, if you strike gold oil on your land, you don't have a say in it. Just by you obtaining oil, just by oil coming into your possession, you become rich, right? If you ever get that blessed phone call that's, you know, rings, you answer it, and they say, hey, now you didn't know your distant aunt, but she knew you, and she has a massive estate and lots of money. She's passed, and she's leaving it all to you. You know, how many would like to receive that phone call? Come on. Just by nature of you receiving that call, receiving that inheritance, it makes you rich. You really have no say. Just by you coming into a possession of it, it makes you rich. And that's exactly how God describes his blessing in the Word. He says, when I put my blessing upon you, when I lay my blessing upon you, it makes rich. That's what it does. It goes to work making you rich. It goes to work prospering you. God desires to see you prosper and flourish financially. Amen? God loves to see his children prosper and flourish financially. Proverbs chapter 35, verse 27. Let them shout with joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified who delights in the prosperity of his servant. Let them say this continually, the Lord be magnified who delights in the prosperity of his servant. A few people asked me what I was going to talk about this morning. When I told them it was money, they actually laughed out loud because it seems like I only ever talk about money and prosperity. So it's like, you know, how many times are we going to talk about prosperity? How many times are we going to remind you that it's God's will to see you flourish financially? And how many times are you going to hear the word prosperity come out of our mouths? Probably continually, right? Because that's what the Word of God tells us, that to continually say this, continually instill this, continually teach this. Let the Lord be magnified who delights in the prosperity of his servant. Well, why does God want us to say it continually? Because he wants you to know with all your heart, I love to see people flourish financially. I hate to see people lacking. I hate to see people going without. I want to see people in abundance. God loves prosperity. He loves to see his children prosper. Amen? He's drawing out great plans for your life, and there's only prosperity in your future. Jeremiah chapter 29, 11. You've heard this verse before. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and not a future. The brand new you is blessed, and God's blessing makes rich." So the brand new you is prosperous. The reality of the brand new you is prosperity. Amen. Prosperity is the reality for the brand new you. God wants to see you richly, richly, richly blessed. Amen. Amen. We're blessed with the same blessing that Abraham received. You know, there's one little piece of scripture amidst all the other things that are within that Abrahamic blessing that I want to read to you. Because again, we're blessed with the same Abrahamic blessing, right? So the Bible says this about Abraham and Abraham and his seed. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, 18. So because God says this about Abraham and his seed, and because we received the promise and blessing of Abraham, we know this is for us, right? Before I read this, we can agree on that, right? It's for us. I want to read it to you out of Young's Literal Translations, just so that you can see this isn't some sort of, you know, weak translation. It's not out of the Message. It's not out of some watered-down translation. This is word for word out of the Hebrew. "And thou hast remembered Jehovah thy God, for it is he who is giving thee power to make wealth in order to establish the covenant which he had sworn to thy fathers as at this day." It's he. It's Jehovah who is giving you power to make wealth. What type of wealth is it talking about? Well, look it up. It's talking about material wealth. It's talking about finances. It's talking about things. It's talking about possessions. God's power on the inside of you is a power that gives you the ability to make wealth. Amen. There's a misconception when it comes to money in the church. Pastor Luke's already talked about this a little bit just today. You know, people think it's inappropriate to talk about money in the church. People think it's inappropriate to talk about gain in the church. People think that money is evil, but money's not evil. The love of money is evil, right? We're not talking about loving money. We're talking about what God loves to do, and that's bless you, right? So we're not talking about loving money. We're not accruing money for ourselves. We're just observing what is in God's heart for us as believers, right? You know, if the enemy can get you convinced that gain is evil, or that God doesn't want you blessed, or it's inappropriate to talk about money, then he can keep people far below their potential financially. He can keep people in lack. Remember this, it's the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but who is it that comes to give abundance? God, right? It's not inappropriate to talk about money in church. Only when we refuse to talk about money in church do we not teach people how to actually live to the level that they're called to live in the Word, a level of abundance financially. Amen? Amen. God wants you to prosper because God hates lack. God hates to see people go without. God hates to see people who are living below their means. He hates it. In fact, as the good shepherd, it's the first thing that God comes to do. Psalm 23, "For God is our shepherd, we shall not want." When God becomes your shepherd, it's the first thing he wants to come to remove is want, lack, need. It's the first thing he does. That's why I love that song so much. As long as he is your shepherd, it's only greener pastures. It's only stiller waters. As long as God is your shepherd, you shall not lack. You shall not want. Amen. See, people think that the message of prosperity, the message that God wants to flourish you financially, is like disrespectful or it's disproved or it's irreverent, you know, to people who are poor. That the message that God wants to bless you is inappropriate because there are people who aren't living in abundance. There are people that are living below, right? But the message of God's prosperous will, the message that you are blessed, it's not disrespectful. It's not offensive to people who are currently in a level of poverty. It's good news. It's good news. It's okay. There's no shame. If that's where you are now, if that's where your level is, all you've got to know is this. God doesn't want you to stay there. God wants you to be blessed. It's not disrespectful. It's not disproved because of the existence of poverty. You can just know God doesn't want you to be there. God wants to bring you out. God wants you to be, to have an abundance in Jesus' name. Amen? And think about this. The scripture's loaded with instruction for us to bless the poor, right? The scriptures are loaded with instructions for us to give what we have to the poor. Things like if you see somebody on the road and they're naked, they need clothing, what do? We give them clothes, right? If somebody's hungry, what do as believers? We feed them. If somebody's homeless, what do as believers? We give them a home, right? We help them. We bless them. Now think about this. If God was not for blessing, if God was not for prosperity, if God was not for increase, then those scriptures would look a whole lot different. He would say, look, when you see somebody on the side of the road, they're hungry, leave them because I'm teaching them through their lack, right? I like to see people go without food. You see somebody on the street, they're naked, don't give them clothes. Come on. I'm the one that put them there. Just let them be. That's not what it says, right? It says when you see somebody in need, you meet that need. You bless that person. Now, God wants to bless us. God wants to prosper us. Is a warm meal to a hungry stomach a blessing? Yes, it is. Is clothing to the naked a blessing? Yes, it is. Is a home over somebody's, a roof over somebody's head a blessing to the homeless? Yes. So you can see just by God's instructions for us to bless the poor, that means God wants the poor blessed, right? God wants to see you blessed in every single way. Amen. Amen. We've seen so many people in this church come out of poverty and into a place of abundance. So many people that put their trust in God, they've started to give, they've started to work out this covenant and, you know, live the way that God wants them to live. And we've seen them just absolutely flourish abundantly. A few months ago at the Married People event, I was talking to a couple who, when they first started coming to the church, well, one, they weren't really saved, and two, they were in extraordinary lack. They needed a lot of things in their lives financially. And when they gave their heart to the Lord, we saw this in their life just go to work. God's blessing came upon them, and he began to prosper them mightily, so much so that this couple said their unsaved neighbor built them a garage and then re-sided their house for them. An unsaved neighbor just said, hey, I see something changing in you, and I just feel to build you a garage and reside your house for you. I mean, come on, that is extraordinary blessing. Amen? But that's what happens when the blessing of God comes upon you. Prosperity, riches, it's just a result. That's what it goes to work doing. It makes you rich in Jesus' name. God wants to see you prosper and flourish in every way. So just like there's a misconception with money, that it's bad to talk about money in church, there's a misconception with prosperity in general. People think that people that teach prosperity are just money hungry, with dollar signs in their eyes, they're hypocritical, they just want selfish gain, all of those things. But listen, true prosperity, it's simple. It's understanding that we are blessed to be a blessing, right? We are blessed to be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. And I want to teach you a couple very important principles. This is why it's important. You have to understand, you have to be blessed. You have to be blessed. You cannot give what you do not have. You cannot give what you do not have. So if you're going to be the generous person that God's called you to be, if you're going to clothe the naked, if you're going to feed the hungry, if you're going to shelter the homeless, then you're going to have to be able to provide for yourself, right? If all you're ever doing is scraping by yourself, you can't hardly feed yourself, you can't keep yourself under roof, then how are you going to provide those things for other people, right? You've got to accept the blessing of God in your life if you're ever going to be the blessing that God's called you to be. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And when you read that, you know, the natural understanding of that is it feels more blessed to give than it does to receive, right? It just feels better to give a gift to somebody than it does to receive a gift. And that's true, right? It feels better. Just, man, all, more altruistic. It's just more blessed to give a gift than it is to receive a gift. But it's actually a little bit deeper than that, the meaning of this scripture. It's teaching you that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. That it actually takes more blessing to give than it does just to receive. It takes a greater blessing for you to be able to give the way that God wants you to give than to just to receive. If you're going to give the way that God has put in your heart, and I know there's people in this room that you want to give big. You want to be more and more generous. You want to build God's kingdom. You want to make impact, right? You will never be the giver, the generous person God's called you to be if you don't learn to accept God's blessing for yourself, because you can't give what you don't have. Can't bless if you're not blessed. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We see this played out in the Word. Pastor Luke's already read a little bit of this passage. I'll read a little bit further down from where he stopped. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 10, said, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he'll provide and increase your resources. He's going to provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous." Listen to that one more time. Verse 11. "Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who are in need, they'll thank God." So look at this progression. People who are in need get what they need, right? And they give thanks to God. People who are in need get what they need. But what happened before that? It took believers to be enriched. It took believers to receive. It took believers to be blessed. And then from that, God was able to produce a harvest of generosity. God wants to enrich you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bring you up so that you can be that generous person that He's called you to be, so that you can be the blessing that you've been called to be. Amen. God has not meant you to scrape by. God doesn't want you worrying about how you're going to pay your mortgage payment. God doesn't want you worried about how those bills are going to get paid or how you're going to provide Christmas for your children. God doesn't want those things for you. He wants to have an abundance. He doesn't want you to worry about a thing when it comes to your finances. He just wants you to know He's going to take care of you because He loves you and He's going to bless you. Amen? The passage in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus is pointing toward the lilies and He's teaching us not to worry. He says, "Look at the lilies in the field. They're so beautiful." He said, "Not even Solomon in all of his splendor was as beautiful as these lilies are." And you know how rich Solomon was. He was the richest man who's ever lived. Yet not even him is as beautiful as these lilies. They don't worry about, you know, what's happening today. They don't worry about their food. They don't worry about their well-being. They just know God's going to take care of them. And if God cares so much for these little lilies that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, how much more will He take care of you? God doesn't want you to worry about a thing when it comes to your finances. He just wants you to know He delights in your prosperity. He wants to see you flourish. Amen? Amen. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 32. It says, "All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all." God's great blessing was upon the early church, right? That's what we're reading here. We're reading about the church back when it was first established. This is right out of Jesus' hands into the apostles' hands. This is a flourishing church. People are being blessed. They're giving what is theirs to other people. It says the great blessing was upon them. And what happens? Verse 34. "There was no needy people among them, because those who owned land, houses, would sell them, and they'd bring the money to the apostles' feet and give to those in need." So you see all of this worked out beautifully in the early church. The early church was blessed. The early church had an abundance, and those who had an abundance took out of their abundance and gave to those in need. And what happened? Need was wiped out. Nobody needed. There was no lack in the early church. There were no poor in the early church. God richly blessed the entire church because there were people who accepted the blessing of God in their lives, who said, "I'm not going to push back on this. I'm not going to come up with some sort of religious attitude or religious resistance against this. I'm going to accept that, God, you are good. You desire to bless me. And out of this blessing, I'm going to be a blessing." That's what enabled the early church to be a lack-free church. And I believe that's what's going to happen in this church. Amen? Yes. You know, people will say with a religious attitude sometimes, you know, the blessing is more than money. Yeah, prosperity, it's just more than money, right? You know, we'll have people, you know, instruct us that, like, we don't know. Yes, the blessing of God is more than money. Yes, prosperity is more than money. It's way more than you know, possessions. It's life and joy. It's eternal relationship with Christ. It's a relationship with God. It's being spirit-filled. It's all the things that we've talked about. Yes, prosperity, the blessing of God, it's so much. But you know what it is also? Money. All right? So God is just so good. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have freedom. He wants you to have relationship with Him. But He also wants you to have money. He wants you to be blessed because that's how good God is. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah, give Him praise. If you're going to give Him praise, give Him praise. So I want to finish just the next couple minutes, just a very simple way that you can begin to walk in this prosperity, a walk in this abundance. Because if we're honest, we're not where we need to be, right? None of us. God's got a higher level for all of us. None of us are to that place where we can put a stamp on and say we're rich, right? We're all growing there. We're all learning to be more like the Word, more conformed with the Word. We believe the blessing of God makes us rich, but it's time to increase, right? So how do you walk in abundance? How do you walk in this brand, in this abundance that is of the brand new you? I want to look back at Abraham just real quick, because it's Abraham who really we're basing all this off of, right? The blessing that was upon Abraham is upon us, and that blessing makes us rich. When God was pouring out His heart on Abraham, and God was telling Abraham all the wonderful things that would come because of him, you know, God took Abraham out and He showed him the night sky and He said, count all the stars. You see how many that they're innumerable. This is how many descendants you'll have. Look at the sand on the seashore. That's how many descendants you're going to have. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. All the things that God put in Abraham's heart then, even though Abraham didn't see it, what He said is extraordinary. And what He said is what is actually going to help us, is going to get us into prosperity. So when God told Abraham all of these wonderful things, it's simple. It's four words in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. God pours His heart out on Abraham, and it says this: Abraham believed the Lord. Abraham believed the Lord. He believed Him. It's simple. He just believed Him. When God poured out His heart on Abraham and told him how his descendants were going to be innumerable, He didn't come up with objections. He didn't start asking why. But God, I don't have any kids right now. How am I going to, you know, how am I going to have thousands and thousands of children? He didn't try to reason it out in his head when He told those things. With a tear in Abraham's eye, He just said, God, I believe You. Yeah, amen. I believe that. I believe You. I believe You. I don't know how. I don't know all the logistics of it, but I know this. I believe You. I believe what You say. That's how you walk in prosperity. That's the number one step. You want to watch God bless you abundantly. Don't worry about how. Don't come up with all these objections. Don't come up with all these calculations. Just accept this fact. God loves you so richly. He wants to bless you so richly, and that blessing is going to make you rich in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Say, God, I believe You. Amen? Amen? You believe the Lord at His word?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead and close your eyes.